Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Friends, I want you to know that every born-again believer has a call upon their lives. Now, it's up to you to find out what God wants for your life. You have one talent when you're born again, but He wants to give you more. He wants you to invest your talents. Well, listen, that's what I've been trying to do for 55 years ago. Oh, I haven't done the best job in the world, but I know one thing. I know God loves me, and I know Jesus. Well, listen, why don't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour you a glass of ice to your cup of coffee. I'll be with you for half or nine, okay? Well, now here's our thought for the day. The measure of a truly great man is the courtesy with which he treats lesser men. Everybody wants to have guarantees. I'll guarantee you this, or you buy a car from me, I'll guarantee it'll take care of it. But the greatest guarantee you and I can have is great guarantees in Christ's resurrection. 1 Corinthians, 15th chapter, and with the first verse. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye are all you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching in vain, and our faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised up not up, if so be that the dead not rise. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Oh, my dear friends, reflections on the death of Christ. The betrayal, Peter's denial, Pilate's decision, the suffering and substitutionary death for sinners. The supreme example of God's love is found in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But the gospel is also about the resurrection, verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Well, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and rose according to the Scriptures. This resurrection provides three great guarantees to believers. First, the guarantee of our Savior, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, but by which ye also are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then all of the apostles. Friends, listen. The resurrection declares Christ is the Son of God. Now, all conquerors have been conquered by death. And all kings have been ruled by death, but the philosophers have died as fools die. Even religious leaders are all in their grave. And it tells us in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment. All have died. Listen, friends, Samson was not strong enough to resist death. Solomon was not wise enough to escape death. Methuselah lived 969 years, but he finally died. Only Jesus conquered death. Why? This was a sign of his deity. You remember what he said in John 2? Destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up. John 2:18-22. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. Power to lay it down and to take it up. John 10. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and have power to take it up again. This commandment I have received of my Father. No man taketh from me, I lay it down myself. Did you know, friends, there are just an awful lot of people. There are just an awful lot of people. See, well, they killed Jesus. No, they didn't, beloved. He laid down his life freely. Do you think he wanted to go at the cross? Well, go out there and read about it out in the Garden of Gethsemane. He sweat pools of blood. His disciples even went to sleep. Pretty soon he said, let this cup pass from me. But then he mentioned the most powerful prayer I've ever heard. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Friends, that is something. They didn't take it. He gave it. Boy, I tell you. And what I can't understand when I was a baby Christian, if he didn't have any sin, which he did not, he was sinless, and yet he took my sins. You've heard me say this many times. Took my sins and your sins upon him and laid his life down for you and for me. Can you reject that kind of love? Let's go to John 3:16. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is God's guarantee, and that's God's promise. Well, the guarantee of our salvation is found in verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. And then he goes on and says, Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope of in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them asleep. Do you remember when they put him in that grave? They really, really thought they'd shut Jesus' mouth. Why? They even rolled a huge stone up there in front of the grave. And then they put guards on it. But no one's going to bother this man. Oh, you think so? Well, what did God do? He caused a little earthquake. And you know what? That stone was rolled away. And an angel said, Oh, listen, don't be afraid. Paul's fearful. If you are yet in your sins, if no forgiveness, eternal guilty. If the dead are perished, if terminal illness, eternally terminal. If no Christian joy, nothing for which to live. But now is Christ arisen from the dead. You know what that means? That means if you repent and you've been born again, like Jesus told Nicodemus, if you've been born again, he said, you can go to heaven. No man shall pluck thee out of my hand. Well, friends, there's so many people that really, really don't believe in eternal security. My heart goes out to them. I feel sorry for them. If you really want to know about eternal security, you get on your knees and you go to the God's Holy Spirit and you say, here's my problem, Lord. I don't know what to believe. God will give you the, he'll give you the scripture. He'll give you the blessed assurance that your sins have been forgiven and you're going to go to heaven. And your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. Now, if you don't know that, and you think you could lose your salvation every time you turn around, you are the most miserable person in the whole world. No, if he says, I've given to you life eternal, that's exactly what he meant. Now, you going to doubt that? You calling God a liar? Pity him. All the negatives above turned into positives. We have forgiveness, and we have eternal life and joy. Well, let's go on to this thing. The guarantee of our similar resurrection is found in verse 20 through 23. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Do you have that assurance? Oh, dear friends, ask yourself this question. If I were to die today, where will I spend eternity? Now, when I've asked that question millions of times over the last 55 years, and I've got several answers. One of them says, well, I plan on going to heaven, or I hope I'm going to heaven. Well, now, neither one of those are good answers. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5:13, this is written that you may know that you have life eternal. That's what the Bible says. Christ, the first fruits in the resurrection. Like the first of the harvest. Christians rise when our Lord returns. We will be resurrected at the Lord's return. We should all be like Him. No limitations anymore. Let's supposing tonight you're given up to die. You have terminal cancer. And by the way, while I'm on that, I want to give God a praise. Did you know my good friend Bud McGee? We have been praying for that gentleman for all these months. He's been going through a lot, but he's a good man. He's a Christian. He's a preacher. And I've even put him on my world, down in Oregon. And he has a worldwide prayer chain. Now, I know that there are people in that church, where Emmanuel Church, has been praying for him. He went through a terrible night not so long ago. God pulled him through it. You see, the Lord will go with us through all of these problems. Now, you remember when Peter and all those guys were out in that lake going ashore, and Jesus was so tired, he'd been preaching all day, and he laid down in the aft part of the ship and went sound asleep. Well, now here's a storm. A huge storm came up, just like that. And if you've ever been at Aleutian Islands, you know we call them willy-waws. And I mean to tell you, it can be 50 degrees and just as no wind whatsoever. And within 50 minutes, you can have 100 knot winds. We call them willy-waws. Well, the men got scared, and I can understand that. They said, "Lord, Lord, we're going to perish." Oh, he looked at those men, "You little faith," stood up in the boat, put out his hands, "Peace be still." What do you suppose happened? The water subsided upon, and the waves dropped to nothing. Now, I don't like to tell this story, but I was shipwrecked one time. And through stupidity, my wife told me, "See, that water is too heavy for you in that small 22-foot boat. You better stay, leave the boat here, go home on a ferry, and then the next day go back and get your boat when the water's down." I was a Navy man. "No, I know how to cox in a boat, you betcha." So I went down and I filled up my boat, filled up my gas tanks, put on my red sweater and my life jacket, and away I go. The minute I left Friday Harbor, I knew that I'd made a terrible mistake, because those waves were getting up there in, I guess, 3 or 4 foot waves. Well, I know how to quarter waves, and so I was doing pretty good. But also, I noticed that there was nobody out there around those islands. Not one ship, not one boat, no nothing. Well, so what did I do? I followed as close to the shores as I could. In case I would go down, I could probably make it ashore. Well, everything's going pretty good, and I'm getting a little nervous. The motor had sputtered a couple of times, like maybe it'd run out of gas, but it hadn't. And when I get to the Hell's Half Acres, that's 5 or 6 tides all come in together. It's a dangerous place to be in a small boat with not a big motor. And I didn't have a big motor. It was an outboard motor. Then I realized I don't dare start across that. If I start across there, I'm going to go down. I'm going to sink. And that water is, you'd freeze in that water in a short time. So I turned the boat back and I went toward this shore. And I put the boat right up on the beach. Waves broke over the cab, broke the cab out, broke my windows out of my cabin. And all I got off that boat was a tank of gas, a battle lamp, and myself. Man, So I thought, now what am I going to do? I'm on a deserted island. I don't have a cell phone. I don't know what to do. So I sat there and cogitated on it. And pretty soon I thought, well, maybe I should kind of take a look at this island. I've never been here before. It's a deserted island. And I went and I found an old deserted shack. Yes, sir, it was at one time had been a cabin of some sort. And the roof had caved in. And I went over there and guess what I saw? 3 cans of kettle soup. Don't know how old they were, don't care. I thought, well, I can build a fire and I can heat that soup up, but I won't starve to death. So I went back and I thought, well, you know, I'll light a little fire here. I lit a fire and I caught that island on fire. Now, here I am fighting fire like you can't believe. Well, pretty soon about dusk, here come a little Piper Cub plane down, and he's about 1,000 feet above me. He waggled his wings, which in Navy terms, that they recognized that they saw me. Well, the next thing I know, there's a great big Coast Guard cutter standing off out there. They come and got me, and I fell in the bay, almost drowned. Oh, friends. But you know what? Jesus was with me in that storm. He could let me drown, but he did, and I thank God. Rest in these great guarantees in our Savior, in our salvation, in our similar resurrection. Christ is risen. How will this change your life today? Well, let me ask you. First of all, do you know Jesus? Have you been born again? You say, no, I haven't. Do you have it tugging at your old heart tonight? You say, yeah, I sure do. Well, listen, would you bow your head to me right now? And you say, oh, God, I realize that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. Now here, if you want to pray that prayer, here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry, Lord, for my miserable, miserable life. And I have lived a miserable life, and I'm sorry. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' precious name I pray. If you prayed that prayer, I'd like to have you get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I sure won't embarrass you. And I will not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. Please give me a call. If you can't afford the call, call me collect and I'll accept the charge. 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I do thank you for listening, and I do thank you for your prayers. Do pray for the Emmanuel Baptist Church in the Dalles, that God will send that church a pastor called of God that can take that wonderful church and those wonderful people and lead them. Oh, I tell you, friends, there's not too many churches being led by the Holy Spirit anymore. We kind of forgot our first love. But he's looking for disciples. He's looking for people that are willing to train and teach. And these pastors, that's their job. That's what God called them to do. Well, listen, friends. Until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.